Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena Kirsten in the flesh.
Morena,
in studio.
Ew, flesh. Oh, Don't say that.
As I said it, I immediately regretted it.
Flesh.
Nice to have you back in the studio in person this morning.
Yeah, we can just totally vibe now.
Yeah, we've got the rapport.
Yeah, you guys are going to hear a repartee.
What are we talking about on Travelling Tunes today, Kirsten?
Actually, we are already going a bit. Yeah, okay, we can already hear it. We're talking about queer hyperpop.
Yes.
And this is newish. I mean, this is a recent thing. I know some of the things I do are like a little more historical, but this is very now.
It's contemporary AF.
That's right. But I mean, it's still like a 2010s thing. So, for those of you who are like, no, it's really old. So it's a 2010s thing, but like it's very now. It's what's happening. And it's pop, but it's pop created by people sort of more on their own, right? Without the whole sort of machinery of the record industry. So it's able to be a little more free, very experimental, and it's able to be more queer.
Yes.
A lot of the artists are trans and non-binary.
Yeah, it's very much pioneered by trans women in particular. I'm going to hit the first one, who is an icon, much missed by not just the queer hyperpop community, but broad-reaching musical influence here.
Shake, shake, shake it up and make it.
So this is Sophie from 2014.
Vizzy. This is one of those songs that you're going to have stuck in your head all day, and I'm not sorry about that.
And then your brain will think about the double entendre.
If you want to make them scream,
so when Sophie was doing this era of Sophie music, she was kind of anonymous, eh? She was sort of...
Yeah, and that's interesting too, because I know people associate, you know, pro-queer, everyone's really free, but no, they, you know, it's still difficult for people, can still be a journey, but whether they're ready, who's ready, and she was very anonymous for a while, and...
did a lot of vocal effects on her voice and had other people voice songs kind of as her as well, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah, that's a part of it too. They'll talk about the transness of especially some of the trans women in the scene, that the vocal effects not only is cool and fun and trendy, but it's a way to deal with their like vocal dysphoria, and they can have a voice that they want or that they feel more reflects them, as well as it being play.
Sophie also, she's worked with so many people as a producer, like people you wouldn't necessarily expect this type of music to go with. Think of a Vince Staples album where she produced it, and when you listen to it and you know that Sophie produced it, you're like, oh my god, of course, because she really brought all of these like industrial but like squeaky, clean, strange noises back into pop music in a way that maybe like mainstream pop that hadn't been heard before or for a while at least.
Well, yeah, one thing I've sort of been talking about for decades at uni is that electronic music, a lot of people were so afraid when it sort of came out with synthesizers and stuff in like 60s that it would take like the heart and soul and body and guts out of music. And we can see with these artists, it still can be nasty, it can be fun, it can be body. And I think, so that's what you're hearing as well. It's electronic, but it doesn't feel like mechanical or robotic. And you know, like any genre, we've seen a lot of discussion about what is and what isn't, and what's it named, and is it digicore? Like, someone's trying to describe it, and they describe it with just more genre. Emo rap, cloud rap, chiptune. And I'm like, well, if people don't know what those are. Okay, here's one description. Melodic exuberance, cartoonish production. I mean, I can hear it, but just the words don't tell me enough about it. A lot of people say maximalist, but I don't hear that here.
No, some songs, yes, not necessarily in Sophie, I would say. Vizzy.
Shake, shake, shake it up and make it fizz.
So good.
But definitely a play with electronic, you know, like, they're not hiding it. They're not trying to be, like, you know.
Yeah, and that's, I think it's a celebration of what electronic techniques and music and, like, tools can do to take you beyond human as well. Like, you
can accentuate
the human, but also it can take you beyond. And that's a big part of the queer thing as well. Like,
oh yeah, bodies celebrating and going beyond, and, you know, adaptation and choice. Feels so right. So,
another banger. This is Dorian Electra.
And they go, their pronouns are they, and they're from the USA. They're gender fluid in 2019, the song. And they're born in 1992. Everyone wants to feel like they haven't done enough with their lives.
Now, this is like a song where you can hear like the direct influence of Sophie. Sophie's not the only pioneer, but she is maybe the absolute pinnacle pioneer where people are like, well, of course Sophie, when you're looking at references or touchstones. Yeah.
And you can hear, you know, Spotify and TikTok, you can hear, you know, play and people, you know, that, because they're talking about production accessibility, you know, like you can make stuff yourself, digital consumption, but I feel like digital interaction as well.
Yes. People,
again, that human, it's not just we're being fed stuff over airwaves. People play with it, send it back, remix it.
And I think that's that other thing as well. You're saying this is like a contemporary genre, but it's not brand new. We're talking 10 plus years. And that's going back to like internet forums and also community pages and things where people are having organic community online and using that as a way to connect with other people.
Organic
and make music.
Online.
Organic online.
That's an oxymoron.
It is. But yes, it works as well. This is, you know, it's not when we talk about streaming platforms and stuff and this kind of constructed idea of genre and very much like money focused say that this is not that world. This is more the organic side of community.
Are they even making money?
I think Dorian Electra definitely.
It's still a mystery to me. You know, how people are making money with all this. It's just like they got hits. I'm like, okay, how does it turn into dollars? Okay.
And there's so much humor in this genre as well. That's what I really like about it. Like, it's beautiful, it's like moving, it can be very emotional, and it can also be crack up. Like, this is a song about Guy Liner. It's fantastic. It's what a like tongue-in-cheek sort of track it is.
Okay, you can hear one of the chiptunes. Okay, I'll give you that. And the digi chord.
And there's a bit of a trap beat there. Now, this is the most recent one you've brought us, Laura Les. This is just from last year.
And I think about Vocaloid, you know, the singers that only exist online. And we've talked about that, before in the past. It definitely has that invention. And I guess that for some people, genders, well, for everyone, let's be honest, is their own invention of themselves.
Absolutely, Everything is haunted. Everybody's evil and there's ghosts inside the carpet. Do you think I'm frightening? Organ chords and lightning. If I show my fangs, will you tell me that they're cool? Mirror shatter when I'm... So Laura Les is one half of 100 Geeks, who are like, I think, polarizing. You love 100 Geeks or you cannot stand it. Like, there's no in between.
I didn't realize there was an anti.
It's full noise. Like, it's the kind of thing where if you hear 100 Geeks, you either have a very visceral reaction one way or the other, I think.
And apparently it means 100 geckos. So I've heard a lot of bad takes, I'm going to say, on this genre, like that it's not a genre, it's a loosely defined movement, it transcends genre. I'm like, no, this is how genre has always been. It's just you're watching it in real time.
Totally, totally.
You know, it's people pulling at the edges, you know, feeding the center, pushing back, discussing boundaries. Because, you know, I even heard people mention like Willa Smith, Lil Nas X. Mm. Okay, they're not
they're not of this
in
world.
In the movement, yeah. But they still represent this phenomena, you know, like
totally.
That sort of thing.
You can see the influence of this particular scene on their sounds, particularly when you see those artists, like, they're the biggest mainstream artists at the moment, but they are playing with these, like, quite, you know, non-traditional pop sounds.
Yeah.
And that's interesting as well, to see that influence come on there. I've enjoyed this thoroughly
morning. You have. You're a big Sophie fan.
I love Sophie. This is queer hyperpop, for anyone who's wondering. Someone says they hear the influence of early 2000s Peaches. That's probably a very fair call as well. There's like definitely a through line through
it's
there. Someone says serotonin-inducing mellow sherbet-flavored pop artisan confections.
Ooh, that's a good one. Are you guys are you doing a degree in writing there, whoever you are?
That's a beautiful writing. We
serotonin.
Love that.
Yeah, you're right. I can kind of like hear the tinkle of it.
Sherbety is fantastic. Where are we going next week?
Skronk.
Always keeping us on our toes. Thank you very much, Kirsten. Okay.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
We'll be back after.